Thank you very much for the special. I have always appreciated Jay's thoughtful attitude, the way he thinks before he speaks, things that I admire that I wish I had in my character. I often engage my mouth before my brain is moving at that speed, and I've never seen him make that mistake. Because of that thoughtful attitude, I know he puts the same effort into the scriptures and in delivering the message that God has given to him. I think he's become one of our deepest thinkers within the gospel. And I always appreciate listening to him speak. I give you our preacher for the hour, Brother Jay.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm happy to be here. I don't feel very well, however. Why, I really don't know, but I just don't feel very well. So I ask for your prayers. I've already changed my my sermon twice this morning. So we'll see what happens here when we get started. I would like to speak to you about some simple things that I find in the gospel and to address some things that I've heard in my life, and I feel like it's important, and it's important to us in the basic way we look at life, in the basic way that we address certain things, the kind of things we pursue, the kind of things we talk about all the time. The kind of words we use are extremely important. They're always important. But I want to begin by reading a scripture, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible in Paul's writings. And it's in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 and 2. This it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Of course, he's telling me, you know, a lot of times, and one of the things, the habits that I got into earlier in my life was I was always looking at, you know, how-to books and psychology books and trying to find new ways of expressing things. And I have come to realize that a lot of that stuff is a bunch of garbage and really we don't need it. And God doesn't need you to go teaching all these things. The things that the world teaches as an answer, because they're, for the most part, often substitutes. They're substitutes for God. And you're going to have to study some of these things when you're in school. You don't have any choice. You're going to have to read them. You're going to have to study them. But when we're trying to preach the gospel, what kind of things do we teach? We're going to teach, it says, Paul said here, you know, that he wasn't coming to him with excellency of speech, like, you know, learning how he probably, in his manner of communication, he probably speaks like I do in Spanish, you know, he sounded pretty bad, you know, because he probably was speaking a different language, he probably was speaking Greek, I'm guessing maybe he was speaking Greek when he was trying to talk to these people in writing to the Corinthians or talking to them. When he was there. But he didn't bring the wisdom of the world. He brought one thing, Jesus Christ. One thing. He brought Jesus Christ. So I want to make that kind of the thought that I want to bring to you and go on from there. And I want to go into the second book of Corinthians, second letter, and chapter 12, and read verse 7, I believe it is here. And verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sakes, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And here, of course, the Lord told him that his grace was sufficient. It was enough. It was enough for him. It was enough for him to give him the pleasure of life that he was looking for, as opposed to all the other things that are going on, the distresses of life which happen to us upon a daily basis. God's grace and the presence of his Spirit was enough. What he gives is enough. It's enough for people in all of their needs and their necessities of life. So now I want to go again to some more of his words. I want to go to the book of Ephesians. I want to take a quick look in chapter 5 and read verse 12. Again, remembering the things that I first spoke about bringing nothing but Christ. And I'm going to read verse 12 in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Says this, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Now that's all I want to read right there. "It is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Have you ever been involved in conversations, or even some once in a while in the church, I hear this, "Well, we've got to tell it like it is." That was the kind of thing that we used to say when I was a kid. Tell it like it is. But this says, don't tell it like it is. Don't bring all the secret garbage out that's in the world. Don't talk about that stuff. Don't bring about all this. You know, I know God would have you in your homes and your families occasionally, and he would have us if there was a minister going to be teaching about marriage and teaching to a young couple or something and they're getting married, I'm sure he would have him be frank, be explicit about certain things, about certain things that needed to be talked about. But I don't think he wants me to stand up here and talk about those things. He wants me to talk about the answers to spiritual problems and spiritual needs. And it is a shame. It is a shame to speak of those things. It is a shame, you know, when you're sitting down and you're watching something on television and you see stuff that is not meant to be seen. It is a shame. You should be ashamed. You should be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed by the things you see. I know when I think about my kids that they see all kinds of things in their work, and Jim has. He's seen all kinds of things in work, and people do the things that they really don't want to talk about. They're not good. They're not good to talk about, to bring out in the open. They're things that should be kept in darkness, because that's what they are, darkness. They are darkness. The knowledge of those things is darkness and not light. And so it isn't necessary for us to try and explain everything that goes on, everything that happens in the world, and to explain it so our kids understand it. You know, sometimes those things, if they ask, if they hear something, they see something, you have to try and help them out and explain to them these things and how they can look at such things. But to dwell upon such things is not good for you. It is not good for you. It is not good. It is a shame to even speak them, to say them. And this is something I, in my life, am trying to do, trying to change the way that I view things in life. One of my weaknesses, I love to tell jokes. I love to make fun at certain kinds of things, and I'm trying not to now because I know some of those things are wrong. One of the doorways into getting people to accept that which is wrong is to laugh at evil. It disarms you. It makes you kind of, you know, well, you know, it's not so bad. It disarms you. It takes away the shock value of it. It's not a good thing to be speaking about such things all the time. And I'm going to go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 24 to 32. And here's a long list of all the things that are done in secret. Primarily. Today they're not. Today they're quite open. Even though they're open, it's not a good thing for us to go around speaking about these kind of things all the time. But let's look in chapter 1 of Rome, or the book of Romans. I want to begin with verse 24 and go to the end of the chapter. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And you know, what I'm hopeful is we don't find pleasure in any of these things. But sometimes, you know, the things that we get involved in, or the things that happen in life, it was a temptation. When I was younger, it was a much greater temptation. And now it's not so much, I think, because I have just learned to just turn a deaf ear. But, you know, once in a while you're going someplace and you hear somebody tell a joke. And when I was younger, it was hard not to chuckle. But when we look at it spiritually, that it is death, it is darkness, it is something that will change the way you think and change as well, and it is something wrong, it's something that is bad, it's something that should not be spoken of, and they're spoken of every day of your life. This is the battle that you have. I know we all have this battle. But learn to control yourself. Think about what you're going to do ahead of time when you hear this garbage. And don't laugh. And stand up for what is right by not laughing at these things. Because they're not funny. They're evil. And I remember, and I'm going to tell you again, I'm sure I've told the story before, probably when I read this very, very scripture, because it makes me remember it. The day that my mother and my sister and myself, we sat watching a program called Laugh-In. It was one of the original breakers of all barriers. It broke all the barriers in comedy. Everything that was evil, they spoke about and they joked about. And my mother sat there with us one time, and we sat there, and we were in Houston, Texas, and we were separated from the church, and my mother was sitting there on the couch, and I think Marlene was there, and we were sitting there watching this, and all of a sudden, and it just came on, and my mother got up and walked over and turned the television off. And I thought she was crazy. What are you doing that for? And she told me, and she told us right there in the spot, she says, and we were mad. I was mad. And she told me. And she told us, she says, well, you know, I was sitting there. And I watched on the television. And what appeared on that television was not laughing, but I saw the face of our enemy. The face of Satan. Laughing at us. And I never forgot that. I haven't always gone by what I learned that day. But she got up and she turned it off, and we sat around, we did other things, and I wasn't too happy, and I wasn't pleased, and I was bored, and all kinds of stuff. But it made an impression on my life to this very day. It made an impression. And even later on, you know, as I was, my mother was gone, and I was living down there in Houston. I lived with another family, and we watched Laugh-In, you know, every week when it came on. I remember one night it came on, we watched it. But it truly was disgusting. And so what I'm asking that we need to be doing is we need to be looking at all these things with more. It is shame to hear it. It is a shame to see it. You need to, if you want to change your life, you want to make an impact on this world, you want to help your kids to be happy, then you need to be controlling yourself. You need to be turning these things off. You need to be avoiding them at all costs and making stands wherever you can. We need to acquire once again, if we're going to come out of Babylon, this is one of the things we can do. It doesn't cost you any money. It probably cost you less. Come out. And leave those things that belong in the darkness in the darkness. We don't need to tell it like it is. We don't need to tell the world and explain everything. And sometimes Christians are beginning to try and explain things in all kinds of churches, trying to explain things by shocking kids. You know, they have their own rock groups, and you know, I'm sure most of you are aware of the old rock group called Kiss. You know, I think they were the ones that had all painted. Well, now they've got Christian groups they've had for years. I don't know, 10, 20 years ago they started these Christian groups. Look just like them. They paint up just the same way. We should be different. This I know, we should be different. And I think you know it as well. We need to be different. But let's look at a few other things. Let's try and firm up this idea of the difference and that there's a difference in light and dark and good and bad. And God does expect us to be different in this world and to become stronger in what's right. On page 147 in the Book of Mormon, another one of my favorite scriptures in the Book of Mormon, I want to begin in verse 95. It says this on page 147, chapter 11, verse 95 of 2 Nephi. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He does not work in darkness. He doth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they should not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me. Behold, I say unto you, Nay, but he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, by milk and honey, without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say in you nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say in you nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. And how are you going to persuade everyone unto repentance that you come along with, you come across in your life? How are you going to try and do that unless you are separate from the darkness that is in this world? Well, let's continue on. I want to go and now look at the words of Christ, his own example in John. Go to chapter 5, verse 19. Our example, this is what he said in verse 19 of chapter 5 of John. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So he was doing what his Father told him to do, and we should be doing what Christ has told us what to do. We should be teaching and preaching about Christ, trying to bring him into the lives of other people, of our children, and doing the things which will be of benefit to all those people. And we go into the Book of Mormon in 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 10. We find an example. Verse 10 on page 655. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they prayed for that which they most desired, and they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. You notice that little phrase? That they taught the words of Jesus, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken. Nothing varying. And that's the gospel that we teach, the gospel that we preach, should be that. It should be given, because this is the answer, because what he has taught is enough. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. It is sufficient for the salvation of mankind and for our needs in life. Going to the book of Mosiah, chapter 9. Verse 53, page 260, verse 53. Yea, even he commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith on the Lord who hath redeemed his people. Interesting. Chapter 11, verse 101 of the same book. For there was nothing preached in all the churches except it were repentance and faith in God. These are things, because these are the things that are enough. They will help to change our lives and the lives of other people. I want to go back to the book of John in chapter 4 and restate something that I've stated before. And I want to read in chapter 4, verse 13. You remember this when Jesus was sitting beside the well and a woman came to draw water and he asked her to give him some water. But I want to read verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now my interpretation of this, put in words that we might use today, we don't say things like that anymore, you know, I'm thirsty. He was talking about the things of this world. But what I do know is that things we do in the world that we live in today all the time, we don't say, you know, I'm thirsty. We say, I'm bored. I'm bored. And we're always looking for some new excitement, something new, some kind of new adrenaline rush in our life. Because and the more we get, the more bored we get, the less content we get with life, the less content we get with the things that are given to us. And this is a great danger, and it can be a great danger with people. It can be a great danger with policemen, firemen. You know, an adrenaline rush. When you're rushing into a fire or you're rushing towards some danger, that's an adrenaline rush. I am certain of it. And it can be addictive. And it's the kind of thing we have to be careful. It's an addiction that we can get into and make more out of than we really need to. Because when it comes more than service, and the same thing can happen if we're playing video games. And I like to play Sudoku. But, you know, maybe I need to watch that as well sometimes. You know, I'm trying to keep my mind alive, you know, do some Scrabble or something like that, keep my mind alive. But I can't just be bored in life. Don't get yourself into a place where you're bored. And if you're bored, you need to consider that possibly you are living in a danger. I want to go to the book of Titus. In the book of Titus, I want to read in chapter 2. I want to begin with verse 1. And it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And if we just stop there for a minute, You know, sometimes when there are several places in the scripture where they use this kind of expression. You know, they start off with the word but. But thou, or speak thou, something that you're going to do, you're changing directions. God's telling you to be different than something else. And so he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So if we go backwards and we look at these things, and we see what kind of things that he's talking about. He was talking about telling the truth. He was talking about Jewish fables, commandments of men, and all kinds of things. And in verse 15, he says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. But he's telling us, but you do something different. But you speak the things which become sound doctrine. At the aged men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You know, he used a word here, the word sober. And I want to read something that I think is kind of interesting. You know, sometimes we would like God to use us. I do. I want God to use me. And I know, though, it requires something of me. It requires that I have a certain type of mindset if God is going to use me. And I want to begin in the Book of Mormon, in chapter 1, and I want to read verses 1 through 3. And this has always struck my mind as something that's extremely important. It says, now I, Mormon, make a record of the things which I have both seen and heard, and call it the Book of Mormon. And about the time that Amaron hid up the records unto the Lord, he came unto me, I being about 10 years of age. And I began to be learned somewhat after the manner of the learning of my people. And Amaron saith unto me, I perceive that thou art a sober child, and art quick to observe. Therefore, when you are about 24 years old, I would that you should remember the things that ye have observed concerning this people. You know, if you want to be a person that's called of God, or even a young man, if you'd like to be called to be a minister, this is a good, important thing to take a look at. We need to be sober-minded. Sober-minded about the things that God would have us to do, to be sober, to think seriously about the things of life at all times. And so I'm just reminding us things we already know. Because I know you know these things. And I don't want to intimate that you don't know them. But our job is to be sober in this world and to think soberly and to pull ourselves from the world as much as we possibly can. I want to speak just briefly. There's a prophecy in the book of Matthew about our day that we live in. And so oftentimes in our day, I find myself once in a while dwelling on the things that are negative. I find myself thinking about and maybe preaching about the great dangers of the day that we live in. And I don't really want to always do that. I want people to look at something greater, because God does over and over, he's warned us about the day that we live in. And so we look here in chapter 24 of Matthew, and if we read verse 36 and 37, 38. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, and we talk about these terrible things that are going to happen, that the world was so bad that it was a time when God was just thinking about punishing the world or destroying it. But when we think about this and we look at this particular scripture, but as in the days of Noah, that's the kind of day we live in, I want to point out a verse that's in the Old Testament about Noah. And in chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 8, and that verse says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. And we can find grace, and his grace is sufficient. His grace is enough for us. It is sufficient. And he found grace. And we live in a day also which God is going to give his grace. Grace to us. A grace that will help us to survive in this day. And this is the promise that we have. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so when you hear someone read that again, don't forget that one. Don't forget that verse. As the days of Noah are, so are these. We're also going to have this given to us. That particular wonderful promise that we can find grace as well in God's eyes. I'm going to go back to 1 Timothy, and I'm going to read a couple more scriptures, and then I'm going to end this morning. In chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, in verse 12, verse 11, I'll start there. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, I remember the first time that I really paid attention to that scripture. I was sitting right over there about where Wanda is. And Norman Warfield was up here preaching. And he read that. And those words, it really looked like they just lifted off the page. And as I listened to him reading them, they lifted off the page, and it was a message to me. Do this. And it gave me so much help and strength in my life. And I hope that others of you will have the same kind of experience, that even though you may be inexperienced, even though you may be young, even though you may feel like you don't have any contributions, if you'll do these things, if you will consider and think soberly and read and attend to the doctrine of Christ, and you're going to be an example that God will be with you and bless you and help you and strengthen you every moment of your life, and your life will become a something which people can look at in your life. I'm going to go now to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, we have been called. We've been called out of the world according to the purposes of God. And I don't believe for one minute that it's just a coincidence that each one of you are here. You've been called out of the world, and you have a great desire to serve God. I'm convinced of this. But we can always do better, and we can perfect and become stronger and become more determined in our minds and more sure in our thoughts the closer we work and walk with God, and the more we come out of this world, and the more we rely upon Him and upon His grace. And if we speak those things which are right and forget about some of these things that we should let the world take care of those things themselves, and we need to even not speak of those things which are done in secret, not even among yourselves, not even when you're around. Sometimes, you know, even when you're with your closest friend, a lot of times it's not good to joke or think about the things or mention the things which God would have us to not think about. God bless you each.